learn about him, and we can learn his ways and learn his motives and learn his ways about spending money. And we can rejoice that we have the riches of wisdom of the ages. And then we have the kingdom of God that we can serve with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul. And God, like the Father in the story, is expecting us to be good stewards of what he's given us. And the gifts that he's given us, to use them with godly wisdom to benefit us in the kingdom of God. Don't squander God's wealth. He cares what you do with the silver dollar that he's given you. And some of us have traded it in for pennies of the world has to offer. The big idea, hardest thing about preaching a sermon that's already been put in the bulletin, is you got to use someone else's sermon. So this is what Tim wants you to know. This is what's in the bulletin. I could just go on and on, scratch that bulletin if you want. The big idea today is to enjoy the living, we must experience the giving. Because you'll never understand what we've been talking about for 4 weeks until you start trusting God in the tithe and even above the tithe and totally trusting in him. He says, because the Bible says the more, it's more blessed to than to, that doesn't make sense. You try that Christmas time. But you know it's true. Because the stuff you got, that little chia pet you got last week, you can't even find it last year at Christmas. You don't even know where that thing is. Just a little moldy thing somewhere. But that thing that you planned and you went and you made and you given to somebody, we know it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's why I retired, man. Things just get messed up in my mind. Because giving's at the heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Giving sometimes in many different forms. In the parable, Jesus explained the concept in the parable of the sower. And I used to think the parable of the sower was about evangelism. And, it kind of is. But the real meaning of the parable of the sower, and I got great comfort as a new minister 27 years ago in Jarvisburg, North Carolina. I'm reading the parable of the sower, and it took a lot of pressure off. Because I'm thinking, man, they're scattering seeds everywhere. And the seed's the word of God. But it's only producing 1/4 at the time. And I'm thinking, well, this is great. I'm going to pour my life into people. But I can't save them all. They walked away from Jesus. Maybe 25% I might be able to get. I mean, it kind of jives with God's word. He says, broad is the road that leads to destruction. He says, but narrow's the way that leads to life, and few there be that will find it. So I'm taking great comfort in, man, I'm going to work for the rest of my life trying to win souls, but I'm not going to win that many. But then I started studying, kept studying it, and I believe now what it is, it's about the sowing of the word of God is from God's grace and mercy to a lost world that needs it. It needs the word of God to know how to live in all aspects of life. And the more you receive the word of God, the more you put it into practice in your life, the more that you obey the word of God, then your life will be life that is truly life, because it's all dependent on God. And then you remember the old hymn. You just start to have that in your daily life. You know, we trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Some of you have been looking forward to singing a hymn in church for a long time, haven't you? There's your time. All right, back to this parable. Matthew 13, 3 to 9. Then he told them many things in parables. And why did Jesus teach in parables? Because sometimes he didn't want the world to get what he was trying to teach the disciples. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. He was scattered to seed. Some fell along the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell in good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. I see a bunch of ears in this place. Let us hear. The disciples didn't understand, and they would ask more questions. When we submit to God's plan for life, not just economics, but God's plan for life, then we will be blessed by the truth of God's speech. God is God, as Chevy Chase would say, we're not. You're so young, you don't even know who Chevy Chase is. He owns, we manage for him. We manage what he gives us to care for our families, to allow the church to prosper, and to take care of lost souls and people in need. But first we must comprehend his teaching, must understand with our heart. Verse 18 and 19 says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The parable is, first and foremost, about how we receive spiritual truth. When God speaks, are we anxious to receive it? And not, it's just not an understanding with our heart. It's just, and not just understanding with our head. The key insight is the way you hear determines how you will respond. And the way you respond determines how much you will reap in any area of kingdom living. So when God speaks, and not just finances, let's say God speaks about marriage. When God speaks about marriage, are you willing to receive it? Or are you hard soil, thorny soil, rocky soil? You know, if you have any hesitation to receive the word of God, not just about marriage, it may be raising children, it could be finances, it could be how to organize the church, maybe how to baptize. You know, when God speaks, do we receive it? Do we receive it with joy? And is our heart ready to say, God, I trust you? Even though this doesn't make sense to me, tithing doesn't make sense. I can live better on 9/10 than the whole thing. But God says, trust me in the tithe. Malachi said, I'll pour out the storehouses of heaven if you do that. Why? Because God wants us to have what we need to do his bidding and care for our families. He will always meet our need if God's people respond. I tell you, if everybody in this building started tithing today, the elders would be passing out right and left. And they'd be saying, man, we gotta figure out more ways to give and to spend money. When God speaks on any area, are you receiving it with joy? And since this parable applies to the kingdom living in general, it also applies to the topic of giving. Unless we understand these things, we will miss out on what brings true joy to life. And that's what these four types of soil are. They're how we receive the word of God. There's the path. And that's where Skeet Saturn, but we have such a hard heart, Satan just comes right in and snatches it away. There's a stony soil. It's a superficial heart. It's a shallow heart. Man, we initially accept it with joy, but then the troubles of life and the persecution of the word comes, and boom, it's gone. Then there's the thorny soil, the divided heart, a compromising heart. And finally, it's a description of the good soil. That man, it comes in, it takes root, and we receive God's word, and it's just producing in us 30, 60, 100 fold. See, a willing heart leads you down the path of an adventure with God. If not, you're just living life in a random way and maybe attending church. And you just don't get what God's trying to do. But when you give your life to God and you give it over to Him and He's Lord of your life, He's first and foremost in everything, then you start a great adventure with God. And you can look back from the day you're baptized into Jesus Christ and you can see God's hand watching over you and caring for you and guiding you and protecting you your entire life. And at the end of your life, you look back with such satisfaction knowing I was faithful unto death in this world and now I'm ready to go home and see Jesus. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
There's no better place in all the world than being in the will of the Father. And I'm telling you, as sick as Tim is, if God tells him tomorrow to go back to India or go back to Africa, you know he's going. And why is that? Because he's got a heart for God. He loves you, but he's got a heart as big as God's in the world. And I'm telling you, we just celebrated 20 years of this congregation this summer. And we had a great day in the house of the Lord, amen? But I'm telling you, Tim has dedicated his 20 years to teaching you the principles of God so that you would flourish in a cursed and fallen world. I want us all to stand up right now because I think Tim will probably be listening at some point of the week during this sermon after he finishes puking or whatever he's doing. I want everybody to stand up. This is a day that we rejoice in the Lord. We're glad about it. Amen. Tim served you so good for 20 years. I want us to give him a big applause. Tim, this is for you, big boy. We love you. We love how you've served God and you taught us this word. And some of you, on three, let's all say, get well, Timmy boy. One, two, three. Get well, Timmy boy. All right, sit down. You're making a fool of yourself. And to some of you, he's doing all he can to try to get you kicking and screaming into the kingdom of God. And to be good soil that will hear God's word and put it into action in your life. See, we're to receive the teaching with joy. Verse 20 says, the seeds falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once and receives it with joy. The outcome is not in the whether it's thorn or rocky or hard. The outcome is a reception of the word of God. I'm telling you, I don't care if the soil's that shallow. If you receive God's word with joy, it's going to grow and grow and grow by his miraculous power. It's going to grow in shallow soil. I've seen weeds growing up through cement. You know, if you're hard towards God, if you just take it and receive his word on all topics with joy, you will be blessed. God's rich in his provision. He says in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filling to overflowing, and your vats will be brim over with new wine. Or you don't honor the Lord with your wealth, and you lost your silver dollar. And you're keeping your five pennies, and you're constantly worried about money, and you never have the things you need, and you can never make ends meet. It's because you're robbing God with the tithe. God is rich in mercy. He wants you alive in Christ, Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But because of his great love for us, who is rich in mercy, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. See, in Christ Jesus, in our life with Him, we're alive. We're not dead zombies. We're not dead little religious people walking around 6 days a week living like the world, one day trying to convince people we're in Christ. We're alive because we have the Spirit in us, the things of God. I want to brag on my wife a little bit. Debbie, I'm sorry, it's not even in my notes anywhere. She gets so excited. She's been asked to speak several places, and she just starts working on a message. And man, I hear all this rumbling coming out of the computer room, and she's getting excited, and she's pulling this message together. She said, "Do you realize what God says?" I said, "Yeah, I got excited years ago about what He was saying right there." You know, it's like it's infectious. When you start really hearing the Word and putting it into practice and knowing it's God's Word to you, it's exciting. And then God's rich in wisdom, so you'll know how to allocate His resources. James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, and it's peace-loving, it's considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, and impartial and sincere." See, God's rich gifts to us are to help us persevere through tough times, because we're going to have tough times in a fallen world. Jesus explained to His disciples in the stony soil, verse 21, "But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away." The devil's snatching good seeds of God's word out of the world's heart. It's why Hollywood's such a mess. It's why the progressives are such a mess. I mean, they're a mess trying to ruin our country because they will not receive the word of God. But what if Democrat and Republican receive the word of God and were more interested in fostering the good of the American people and showed love toward one another? This country would prosper like it never prospered before, because we would be giving God the glory for it all, knowing it comes from Him, and we are to be the source of His blessing. God's given us a maintained perspective on money. Verse 22, "The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful." That sound like you this morning? Always worried about money. Always not trusting God. Galatians 6:7-8 says this: "You reap what you sow." Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh. Now you do spiritual inventory right now. Are you sowing to please the flesh on a consistent basis? From the flesh will reap destruction. Your choice. It's not your money. It's God's money. But it's your choice. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Then we're to prepare for the great crop. That's what I mean when he talks about enjoying life. You have to experience giving, because giving, it's just not financial. It's a whole kit and caboodle. It's giving of our life. It's giving of our time, our talents, and our energy. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is one who produced a crop yielding 160, 30 times what was sown. See, this is supernatural. It's God's blessing. It's making things work even when you don't think it can work. If you apply these biblical principles about receiving God's message on money with joy, your life will never be the same. But you must trust God, and you must put Him to the test to see if it works. Let me tell you from experience, it works. Other than salvation, it was the greatest thing we wanted to teach our daughter Olivia. was to learn to trust God in the tide. And then even if we die, God's blessing would go with her and Harris for the rest of their lives. Now, there's a little card in your bulletin. But before we talk about this, I want to read you 2 Corinthians 9:10-11. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. See, that's the circle of life. God owns, we manage for him. God has given us the blessings of his goodness. Will we share it with others? Now, this little card, I want you to, if you want to fill it out and leave it in the back there today, that'd be great. If you want to take it home and pray about it, there's a place on there that gives you a little scripture. It says, if you already give at 10% level, are you willing to increase your level? For the Crehan family, we're going to put yes. We tithe, we above tithe and give in so many different. We're going to say yes because God's going to continue to bless us. If you want to begin giving at the tithe level, are you willing to commit to it now? Little place says yes or no. You reap what you sow when you write that. If you'd like to have others lift your name in prayer about giving commitment, please sign your name. If you want any specific issues prayed about, list them on the back of this card. So that's what we do with this card. Think about that silver dollar and the kid trading it in for pennies. Don't make the same mistake this morning and not give God what is his. Lord, we thank you for this day and just thank you for the blessings of life and the way you teach us your word so that we can be faithful and return it back to you. Lord, we're your people. You're counting on us to give so that this world can come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.